one thing to remember is he is the Lord Shiva incarnate from Lord Sankarshan. But we will go into a little bit more detail later on. So he said, I offer my services unto you in your expansion as Lord Sankarshan. And you are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Although you are in unlimited, you remain unmanifested to the non-devotees. So this is something you don't know. Verse 18. Bhaje Bhajana Yagana Pada Pankajam Bhata Shiva Krishna Shiva Parampayanam Bhakta Ishwara Bhavita Bhuta Bhavanam Bhavaham Dva Bhava Bhavam Ishwara. O my Lord, you are the only worshipable person, for you are the Supreme Personality of God, the reservoir of all opulences. Your secure lotus feet are the only source of protection for all your devotees. What was that here? Your lotus feet are the only source of protection for all your devotees, whom you satisfy by manifesting yourself in various forms. So, oh my Lord, you deliver your devotees from the clutches of material existence. Non-devotees, however, remain entangled in this material existence by your will. Kindly accept me as your eternal servant. Again, who is praying to whom? Lord Shiva is praying to Lord Sankarshan. So he is saying, you are the source of protection for all your devotees and non-devotees remain entangled into this material world by your will. Whereas the devotees, you free them from the clutches of material existence. And he is praying that please accept me as an eternal servant. Again, no purpose, so we move on to the next one. Verse 19. नायश्य माया गुणा चित्तं प्रतिभे निरीक्षतो हियं अन्वकापि दृष्टिदर्शते इशेतानं अचितं मान्युरकांसं कष्ठं न मानिते जिगीषुरात्मना. Cannot control the force of our anger. Therefore, when we look at material things, we cannot avoid feeling attraction and or repulsion for them. But the Supreme Lord is never affected in this way. Although he glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining and destroying it, he is not affected even to the slightest degree. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the forces of his senses, must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he will be victorious. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always equipped with inconceivable potences. Although creation takes place by his glancing over the material energy, he is not affected by the modes of material nature. Because of his eternally transcendental position, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this material world, the modes of material nature cannot affect him. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is called transcendence, and anyone who wants to be secure from the influence of the modes of material nature must take shelter of him. Again, this verse, something to which we will seek on, something to remember is that we cannot avoid feeling attraction or repulsion when we come to this material world. It is natural, it becomes natural. It is very difficult. Now Lord Shiva is saying this, we cannot control the force of our anger. So, what to speak about most of us? It is very difficult to control our senses. So, Lord Shiva is indirectly mentioned, it is very difficult to control our senses in this material world. And he is referring, Lord Sankarshan, he glances over the material world for the purpose of creation, maintenance and destruction. So is all these three tasks are carried on by Lord Sankarshan. And but again, even though he is involved in these three activities, he is not affected by it. So, but you are saying that even though you are carrying on these three activities, you are not affected even to the slightest degree. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the forces of the senses, so one who wants to control the senses, must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and then he will be victorious. Om Ajnanatitanda Shiva Jnananjana Sahakara Chakshurunitam Yena Tashmaya Shriyove Namo Shri Chaitanya Manodhisham Sthapitam Yena Gurudaye Swayam Rupa Tadamaya Vadati Swarupadantitam Vandeham Shriyo Shriyuta Padanam Shriyuram Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sarvanarvanatam Sāvitam, sāvitam, krishna saitam, krishna chaitanya devam Shri Rādhā krishna padam saranavita Shri Shākhaṁ vitam Te krishna karuna sindhu dhina bandhu jagatpate Gopesha gopita santa rādhā tantam nasthute Tatta kāśaya tatam nīrā te vrindā mrishvari Rishvam rūpate devī Sindhu Hevacha Paritam Kaunebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Sadhadhara Shivasadhi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking Krishna to show his opulences. What chapter can you remember?
10th.
So, what is the title of this chapter?
The
opulence of the absolute. So, in that chapter, Arjuna is asking Krishna to show his opulences. Does anyone also remember? Why does Arjuna ask to show appearances?
So that no one can
proclaim
that
he is
God, because
he
doesn't have those
appearances. Right, that is more than 11th chapter. Why does he ask Krishna to show his universal form? But any devotee naturally likes to hear more about the Lord, likes to glorify the Lord. And obviously there is always a desire, if you love someone, to know more about that person, personally. So that is why Arjuna asked Krishna to show his appearances. And then Krishna shows his appearances and gives him different analogies how he can be remembered. So another reason why his appearances Arjuna asked, so that Arjuna can remember Krishna. So this is the purpose of each and every devotee, to always remember Krishna and never forget. And these are the two principles that Shri Srila Prabhupada gave us. He said that at the end of our philosophy, at the end of the day, for a devotee, philosophy is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And the only way we can do this is by remembering Krishna wherever we look, whatever we see. And that is why the opulence is Krishna mentions different things. He says, I am Shiva among the demigods. Many, many things Krishna is saying. And why is it mentioned? Because so that whenever we see something beautiful, opulent, powerful, we can remember Krishna, that Krishna is the energy behind it. Srila Prabhupada was flying in an aircraft, he was flying in an aeroplane, and those days there were no screens at the in the front of each and every seat where you can turn it off and turn on, or you can move the channels, whatever channels or movies you want. There was a central screen in the aircraft, and everyone had no choice but to see whatever is displayed. You cannot have on-demand entertainment. So Srila Prabhupada was traveling in the flight, there was a Charlie Chaplin movie going on. And Srila Prabhupada was just watching it and smiling and laughing. And then the devotee who was sitting, Srila Prabhupada's disciple who was sitting next to him, he was thinking, Srila Prabhupada is looking at a movie that is supposed to be something. We are not supposed to watch movies. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and could understand. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is Srila Prabhupada. There are many instances where Srila Prabhupada could read the mind of his disciples. So he told him, look at that character, Charlie Chaplin. Krishna has given him so much of ability to make everyone laugh. So even when Srila Prabhupada was looking at Charlie Chaplin or that movie, what was going on, he was not thinking about the character and he was not engrossed. Like when we look watch a movie or when someone watches a movie, what does happen to that person? What happens to that person? He gets into the character of that person and he feels the joy and lamentation of that person, of the actor or actresses. So he feels a joy and lamentation for that person. But Srila Prabhupada was completely transcendental. He was seeing each and everything in his relationship to Krishna. So when he was watching Charlie Chaplin, he was not thinking, oh, how nice, I'm happy or sad or whatever. He wasn't transcendental, he was seeing how Krishna has provided this person with the ability to make everyone laugh. This is the whole purpose of the whole 10th chapter. The opulences of the Lord, of Krishna, were explained by Krishna just so that Arjuna can remember, or any devotee can remember Krishna. He said, Rasomasu Kaunteya. While you drink water, when you remember this verse, so Krishna says, I am the tasting water. That's the most basic fundamental thing in the life of each and every person, each and every living entity. Needs water to survive. Water, air, all these things are required. So when we drink water, if we can remember this particular verse, the song of Sukhandaya, and the taste in water, we immediately connect to Krishna. So this is the reason why 10th chapter was spoken and Krishna and Arjuna asked Krishna to speak about his opulences. So at the end of 10th chapter, what happens? The last verse Krishna mentions this thing. Ekam sastito jagat atas va bhuta niyetam. He's saying, but what is the need? Krishna is saying, what is the need of all this knowledge, Arjuna, for all this hidden knowledge? What is the single fragment of myself I forget and support this entire universe? Ekam sastito jagat, Krishna says at the end of 10th chapter. There is no need of this knowledge. If you can remember this one thing, that with single fragment of myself, I pervade and sustain the entire universe. And this is what we are hearing in this chapters, the series of chapters you should go on from now onwards. Sometimes devotees ask, is it necessary now when we go to the 11th chapter and things like that, there is a description of the time, atom, planetary position, sthana. This whole canto is called sthana, planetary position. There are 10 subject matters to hear in Srimad Bhagavatam. Antara sarva visarvasa, sthana posham mutta, manvanta, eshanupata, nirodha mukti, ashaya, creation, sub-creation, antara sarva visarvasa, sthana, positions of the planetary system, posham, how Lord protects. Here it is mentioned, in this verse it was mentioned, Lord Shiva is saying, you are the protector of all the living entities. So Poshanam, and you see different cantos, Lord protects everybody. Even in this canto, we heard about the pastime of Bharat Maharaj. How he was protected by the Lord. Poshanam, Sthana Poshanam, Puttaya, the creative impetus, Manvantara, different Manus. We heard about few of them here, and in the later canto, we will hear more Manus and their descriptions. 14 manus are there. So, manantara, eshanantara, the science of God. Nirodha, how to go back home, back to God, Nirodha, liberation. Mukti liberation and ashraya. Ashraya is ultimate shelter, the sarva-samabhona of everything. So that's the fundamental. These are the 10 subject matters which we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam, different cantos. This particular canto is basically categorized as sthana, which means the position of the planetary system. And Krishna is saying, with this single fragment of myself, perfect, he is not even saying that I need everything. Amsa, eka amsena. So Lord is Vibhu, and then he is saying just amsa, just single fragment of mind, I perfect everything. I don't even have to put on all of my energy. In material world, if you want to just create something, you have to concentrate a lot of energy. Suppose you are building a house, and even here has recently built a house, or involved in any kind of building structures. You all are very fortunate. So, sometimes when you are building a house, you are dealing with councils, you are dealing with builders, you are dealing with so many personalities. And after going through that exercise, you think it's better to buy a ready-made house, which is already existing, few years old. So all the ups and downs are already taken care of. Because it's like a brain exercise. So, but here Krishna is saying, all this material creation, maintenance and destruction is just single fragment of myself. He does not even have to put in his entire energy, or actually nothing. Just by his will, as it was mentioned here, everything is happening by his own will. So, and another point which was mentioned here is Icha Dvesha Samuttina. Anyone who comes to this material world, what happens? Iksha and Dvesha Samuttina Dvandva Mohena Bhara. All the living entities are born into illusion, Krishna says in 7th chapter, 27th verse. And bewildered by duality arising from desire and hate. This is constantly going on. Anyone who is in the material world desires for something and hates something. He wants something and he does not want. He likes something, he does not like something. We all have our preferences of, even in something which is very palatable, like ice cream, we like some flavors, we don't like some flavors. We have always got preferences in everything, likes and dislikes. They are born, people are born in devotion, Krishna is saying. So, let us understand, go a little bit into how the creation happens. So, the original personality, who is the original personality? Krishna. Krishna is the original personality. Now, this is going more into a little bit of technical details, but this is worth understanding how everything is perpetuated. Creation, maintenance and destruction. Now you know from who is in charge of creation? Lord Brahma. He basically creates. Who is in charge of destruction? Lord Shiva. And who is in charge of maintenance? Lord Vishnu. So we know from, but again, what does Lord Brahma say in the first temple itself? That he is not the creator. The Narada Muni says, you are the creator, you worship him. Then Lord Brahma tells him, I am not the creator, I am the secondary creator. I am not the original creator. And he explains this knowledge. Again in the third canto, this creation knowledge is explained. Again in the fifth canto, we are hearing this part of creation. And so why is it this creation is so important? And this is the point I was going to make before. Many times the devotee, when they go through these chapters like time and atoms and many times the devotee, when he goes through these details of planetary positions, the time, the atoms, he starts to think, I've just come here to know about Krishna. Why do we have to go through and understand creation, sub-creation, destruction. This is all very technical. The time element, the atoms, how they are molecules. If I wanted to understand all those atoms, nucleus, protons, I would have been a scientist. Or gone into biology. Science was never my subject anyways. So why do we have to understand all these things? We can come and just go directly onto 10th canto. And Maitreya Muni glorified Vidura for asking these questions. Why? And also Sudhir Goswami glorified Parikshit Maharaj because he did not jump into directly the internal persons of the Lord. He asked about the creation. He asked about how Lord maintains, how Lord creates, and how Lord is involved in all these things. At the same time, as I was mentioned here, even though he is involved in creation, maintenance, and destruction, suppose if you want to build a house ourselves, or you want to work in a garden, what would happen after the whole day's work of working in a garden or building a house? You will be tired, of course, if there, but the whole, like, you will be in mud and your hands will be dirty. Like, it's not possible. Of course, it's possible when you are very rich. You can just ask everyone to do things. But when you yourself are doing these things, it is not possible that you can remain, you will be dirty at the end of the day. You will be covered in mud. Right? But here, the Lord is involved in everything. At the same time, He is aloof from everything. He is not getting dirty. So, this is one thing which is amazing. Vidura, Parikshit Maharaj, and here, Lord Shiva is saying the same thing. Even though you are involved in creation, maintenance, and destruction of the entire universe, but still you are not even affected, even a tinge of it. You are not affected by anything of it. How is it possible? So this is one thing which we have to understand from this pastimes in the first canto, third canto, fifth canto, where creation, maintenance, and destruction is explained. How God is involved in each and every effect of the each and every task of creation, maintenance, and destruction. At the same time, He is aloof, He is transcendental. He does not become indicted by any of it. So let's understand how God does all these things, creation, maintenance, and destruction. But of course, who is the secondary creator? Brahma. And who is the secondary maintainer? We see Vishnu, but we'll come to that in more detail. How he is secondary, he is not the original. We can say it's original, but at the same time, he is still secondary. And who is the secondary destroyer? Lord Shiva. Again, why do you say secondary destroyer? He destroys. How can you destroy Christ? Once you destroy, you destroy. Right? But again, you will see that. So, the original personality who is there is Lord Krishna. And that is why he is known as Swayam Bhagavan. He is also known as Adi Purusha. Adi Purusha. He is also known as Adi Purusha. And the first expansion from Lord Krishna is Lord Balaram. And he is known as Vaibhava Prakash. And now we are going a little bit into Chaitanya Charitamrita and Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which mentions the categories of and the stages of this personality and the hierarchy, so that we can better understand how we worship them. When you know the hierarchy, it's easy to worship a personality into that hierarchy. But Arjuna Kapoor was giving a class and he was mentioning how everyone can be on the same altar. If you don't have different steps, you can have them everything on the same level. But again, in your mind, you should know who is supreme and who is secondary. Of course, we respect everyone, but at the same time, we have to know, understand the hierarchy. Because sometimes you might offend. Because you were mentioning, like, you were mentioning this. Like, if a person goes to demigod and glorifies that demigod as supreme and God is standing next to him, the demigod will just give you benediction and get lost. I will be offended by the Lord. The Lord will be offended by me. So he just gives whatever you want. So if you know the hierarchy, you can directly approach the Lord. So therefore we are going through a little bit of this, which is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita. And different from Acharya's commentaries are mentioned that Lord Krishna, who is the original Purusha, Adi Purusha, his swayam, the one in the first expansion is Lord Balaram, who is known as Vaibhav Prakasha. And from Lord Balaram comes the first Chatur Vyuha. And this first Chatur Vyuha is known as Vilasa forms. And this Vilasa, why then mentioned? It is mentioned that this first Chatur Vyuha is equal to Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram in all aspects, except for some, which is the four-handed forms. This four Chatur Vyuha have four-handed forms, but they are equal, the Vilasa, they are equal in all the potencies as Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. Of course, we know that Lord Vishnu has got 60 qualities, and there are 4 qualities, 64 qualities of Krishna. But here it is mentioned the 4 Chatur Vyuha have got all the potencies of Krishna and Balaram, is mentioned, except for 4 arms. And that is why they are known as Tadekatma category of Lord's expansions. Tadekatma category means they are exactly same, Ekatma, they are exactly same as the Lord in all their potencies. And then it is these four forms, the first Chatur Vyuha, also known as Swamsa, Swakamsa. They are known as the first expansion. They are the own expansions, own part of the Lord. And this are also known as Prabhava. Prabhava means the four-handed forms expand further into Vilasa, into more different Vilasa. It is mentioned this four Chatur Vyuha form, they expand into 24 Vishnu forms who reside in the spiritual world. So, and it is mentioned this 24 Vishnu forms, they guard the 8 directions of the spiritual world. So we know north, east, south, west are the 4 directions, and then there are north, east, south, east, south, west, north, west. So 8 directions are there. So this 24 expansions of the 4 Chatur Vyuha guard the 8 directions of the spiritual world, each reside in 3 of the directions. So 8 directions, 24 Vishnu forms, they each 3 reside in each of the directions. So like that, 24 of them guard the spiritual world, and they are known as Prabhava. And then comes to this Chatur Vyuha form expands into Lord Narayan. So therefore, in the Chatur Vyuha form, what are the names of these 4 forms? Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So from this Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, Sankarsana expands into Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan expands into second Chatur Vyuha form. And it is mentioned the second Chatur Vyuha form, again Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. These 4 Chatur Vyuha form are expanded or incarnate into the material world. When the Lord incarnates, they expand to this 4, predominantly from the Sankarsana form. So this Sankarsana form, now the second Chatur Vyuha, expands as Lord Sadasi. And it is explained in a few places in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well as there is a book called Bhagavad Gita Thana by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. In that it is mentioned this Sadasi form is the Vishnu Tattva. It is not Lord Shiva that we know. It is still Vishnu Tattva. Because he resides within the spiritual world. And that Sankarsana forms expands into Sadasi. And then when this 4 Chatur Vyuha, again Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, they expand into Purusha avatars. Mahavishnu, Pranadaksha Vishnu, Shiva Daksha Vishnu, and Garbhodaksha Vishnu. And now when the creation happens, this is where what the, in the Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada is mentioning, when Mahavishnu glances at Pradhan, Mahavishnu glances at Pradhan, he looks at that and impregnates the time energy, the Kala Shakti of himself into Pradhan. So what is Pradhan? Pradhan is like a unmanifested pre-module kind of soup kind of. So when Mahavishnu glances at Pradhan, impregnates the time energy into it, the Kala Shakti, along with Shambhu. So this Shambhu is, again, you see this is all happening from Santarshan. So Santarshan manifests into material world, impregnates as Shambhu along with time energy of the Lord into the Pradhan, and this changes into Mahatattva. So in the third canto, in the beginning, in the 8th chapter, thing is mentioned, Lord is like a father. Prakriti or Pradhan is a mother, and time energy and Shambhu is like the semen of the Lord, which is impregnated into the material energy, and then everything fructifies. So when this happens, immediately the first thing which manifests in the material world is, anyone knows? Avidya or false ego. False ego manifests. And then the three modes manifest. And from three modes, we were hearing yesterday, from the combination of goodness and false ego and time and the Lord's energy manifests. The demigods in the mind, from passion manifests the jivas, and from ignorance manifests the sense, gross senses. So these things start to manifest. Okay. So of course it's very difficult to cover the entire of this fifth canto. It's not entire fifth canto, but even this portion in this one class, because just too many things, too many aspects of it. But so now Karnodaksha Vishnu glances at Pradhan, things start to manifest, and now this material world is starting to manifest. Now one thing interesting I found in third canto was, when this manifestation happens at that time, Maitreya Muni makes this statement, saying that this creation happens, it is the desire of, to fulfill the desire of the living entity. It is not that Lord wants to create the material world. He has got a desire to create something, and then he creates something beautiful or ideal world. It's not that the Lord wanted it, but it was the living entity who wants to enjoy. They want amusement park, so that the Luna Park is created. Because the kids want to drive a car. When kids want to drive a car, you can't just give them, yeah, you can take this car, right? So what do you do when you have a desire to drive a car? You go to Luna Park. So the Luna Park is created for that purpose. So that to fulfill the desire of kids to express the desire of driving cars. So this material world was created so that the living entity can fulfill their, exercise their desire to enjoy separated from Krishna. So Mahavishnu enters into the material world as Karnodaksha Vishnu, and from the pores of Mahavishnu, from the pores of the scene of Mahavishnu, innumerable universes appear, come and disturb and disappear. They enter. When Mahavishnu breathes one, exhales one time, millions of universes come from the pores. And when he breathes in, inhales, all these universes are again drawn back into the body of Mahavishnu. Imagine something like this, and universes come and disappear just by one breath. But that one breath is how much? billions and billions of years. What is it? This is interesting. It is mentioned in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as well as in 13th. What is the lifespan of God Brahma?
Trillions.
Yeah, you just read about the Bhagavad Gita, right? So one who has done Bhakti Sastri Ekam would have the exact number. What is it? Right. So, how did you calculate that? So, a lifespan of Brahma lives for how many years?
100 years of his time.
100 years. And one day of Brahma is called Kalpa. And same is the night of Brahma. So, 12 hours, for example, we call 12 hours of Brahma's day and 12 hours of Brahma's night. And that 12 hours of Brahma's day has got, of course, 12 hours, has got 1000 yuga cycles. One yuga cycle is how much?
Satya, Treta, Dwapara.
Four yugas. Sorry?
One Divya Yuga.
One Divya Yuga is Satyuga, Treta, Dwapara and Kaliyuga. Kaliyuga's lifespan is 430,000. And more for double that, Dwapara is 864,000. Add 432 to it is the Treta Yuga. It is 1296,000. 1.296 million years. Add 432 to it is the Satya Yuga. 1.728. So the entire Yuga cycle, when you add these four Yuga cycles, Satyuga, Treta, Dwapara and Kaliyuga, comes to 4.32 million years. So one Yuga cycle is 4.32 million hour years. Right? And that is how much? One Yuga cycle. So like that, Brahma has got a day. In a day, he has got 1000 Yuga cycles. So how much is one day of Brahma?
1000 times
4.32 million is how much? Any billionaires here? Of course not, right? Otherwise, you would be sitting somewhere else, right? So that is why we always, I ask this question, how many billions is, suppose if you have got $10 million and if you multiply by 1000, how much is it? So, we should go to maths class now. So, any million multiplied by 1000 is that many billions. So when you have 4.32 million multiplied by 1000, it's 4.32 million. Okay? It's easy for Bill Gates or someone like that, those guys to calculate that. Or some mathematician who for a humble. So one day of Brahma is how much?
4.32
billion years. That's just 12 hours of his day. And similar is the night of Brahma. So he sleeps for 4.32 billion years of our years. And that is just one day. So it's 8.64 billion years is just day and night of one day and night of Brahma. Like that, he multiplied by 365 is 1 year, multiplied by 100 is his lifespan. And that was, as Prabhupada mentioned, 311.4 trillion years. Is the lifespan of one Brahma. So this is what Lord Brahma's lifespan is. And after the lifespan, and this is actually when one Brahma goes, this universe is drawn back into the body of Mahavishnu. That's where we started. Mahavishnu's body appears, Lord Brahma is born. Sorry, when Mahavishnu breathes out, when Mahavishnu breathes out, a universe is coming. Mahavishnu expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, a lotus flower is emanating. Sorry, I forgot one more point in there. In the third temple, it is mentioned where on the navel Lord Brahma is born. On the navel of, from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, that lotus flower which emanates. Lord Brahma is born, he meditates for his 100 years before even the creation begins. So first 100 years is meditating and then 100 years is there. So 200 years. I'm assuming, because when it was mentioned that way, I also questioned whether it's 100 years of our age or, but it was mentioned, no, of his 100 years. So 311 trillion years is when the creation lasts. So when he's first meditating before even the creation begins for 100 years, so it's 622.8 trillion years is when the universe is lasting. And after that time, it again draws back. Kalpadaksha issue is there. And when creation happens, each and every universe is, living entities are entering into the universe from the stem of the lotus flower and through the Shivadaksha issue. We just want to finish on this now. Hurry up. The appearance and disappearance will happen quickly. We won't wait for 3 years. So, Shivadaksha Vishnu enters into the universe and enters into each and every atom that is mentioned in the fifth canto, and he pervades everything. The bonding force, that the attraction force which stands the group between the atoms, is because of whom? Shivadaksha Vishnu. Without the presence of the Lord, the matter can even not stay intact. It has to be separate. So that bonding force is Shivadaksha Vishnu. So after that trillions of years, when the Mahavishnu breathes again, Karmadaksha Vishnu breathes in, this universe is destroyed. So imagine the time span of this one breath. We cannot even fathom this, we cannot even understand. Imagine we have to breathe for a minute. I'm doing some yoga and the teacher asks me to hold your breath for 1 minute. It's so difficult. After like 30 seconds, 40, you start to suffocate. You want to breathe. So even for half, 1 minute, you are not able to hold a breath. Of course, some of them can breathe a bit longer. But at most 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes. Here, the Lord is breathing and exhaling and inhaling for trillions of years. And that's just one breath of Mahavishnu. And there is no sweat after all this creation, destruction, everything. Is not struggling to hold his breath. It's easy, it's natural, and it's mentioned he's in Yoga Nidra. He's relaxing. He's relaxing on the Ananta Chaitanya. He's just in Yoga Nidra, something which he does even without carelessly, without even putting any effort. And this is Mahavishnu. So, I wanted to make some points, but so, and all the incarnations appear in the material world from Shivadaksha Vishnu, and they are known as the Lila Avataras. And again, this he spoke about. Some way friends from Sadashi, who is a Vishnu Tattva. So the point we need to cut short a little bit. So the point is, when creation happens, who is the original creator? Krishna himself, or in the form of Mahavishnu, he allows everything to be created, and then Shivadaksha Vishnu is maintaining everything. And then when the destruction happens, this is the point I want to make. How Lord Shiva is the secondary destroyer. So going back into the 12th and the 4th chapter, it is mentioned the 4 levels of annihilation. Which is the first level of annihilation? Which is mentioned as Nitya. nitya or constant annihilation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions it. The Bhagavad Gita, they know sin, yathāde kaumāram, yavanam yara, yathāde yantara pārti, dhīrā satarana, mūhe dhīrā, what's the translation for?
The embodied soul
So as an embodied soul, continuously passes from body to youth to old age. Similarly, the soul passes into another body at the time that the sober person is not filled by this change. So, this is called constant annihilation, destruction. And who is facilitating this constant annihilation, destruction? Super soul or Shivadasha Vishnu, yes. Krishna mentions Kavachmi, Lokachaya, Krit. The time energy, which is the force which created, which impregnated the material energy pradhan, right? Which was the source of creation. By the time energy got created, the same time energy Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Kavachmi, Lokachaya, Krit. I am time, the destroyer of everything. And that time is constantly making you move. Karma deva lekarna, jantu devo pate. Karma, one is the activity, the results of the activities, and deva lekarna, the material energy, ordained by the material energy. Jantu deva is constantly forced in Pumsa Sriya. He is put into the womb of a mother. He is forced into the womb of a mother and he is forced into taking birth. So, the first level is there. Constant annihilation is taking place by the effect of time energy of the Lord. And of course, ordained by the super soul. But, time energy is what? Constantly. So, this is the first level of annihilation or destruction. The second level of annihilation is Naimittika or occasional annihilation, which happens after the... Now we saw in Brahma's day there are 1000 yuga cycles. After each yuga cycle, Satyuga, Treta, Dwapara, Kaliyuga, there is partial annihilation. And that is known as Naimittika. Again and again, after so many years, annihilation happens where Brahma goes into sleep. But there is a partial annihilation where everything is destroyed and recreated. Again, Satyuga is created. At that time, everything is destroyed. Kalki Avatar comes and destroys everything. And only the few remain who are formed the seed for the next Satyuga. So that is Naimittika. And then the third annihilation is mentioned as Prakritika. Prakritika is the annihilation at the end of day of Brahma. So when Brahma's the day of Brahma is finished. 4.32 billion years is finished. He goes to sleep, and then for 4.32 billion, what happens? The water rises up to the Brahma Loka or Satya Loka. Up to that, the water rises and everything is destroyed. And then Brahma goes to sleep. And again, when Brahma wakes up from his 4 billion years of sleep, again the creation happens. The water rises down and. But it was mentioned when the creation happens, the Raghodaksha Vishnu's heat is generated from his body. And that heat dries up all the water. At that time, Brahma is thinking, what is my duty? Because he has slept for such a long time. And he gets darshan of the lotus feet of the Raghodaksha Vishnu. Again mentioned in third canto, ninth chapter. He gets darshan of the lotus feet of Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and then he gets inspiration to create. So that this is known as Prakritika. So at the end of day of Brahma, this is the third destruction happens. Again, ordained by time and super soul. And the fourth destruction which happens, which is Atyantika, is happening because when the life of Brahma finishes, the universe which is described before, the universe is drawn back into the body of Mahavishnu, and everything becomes in the yogi or sleep state. Everything, all the living entities go back into sleep state until again they actually use medicine per se. So this is known as Atyandika. So there's four levels of destruction are the real destructions which happen. And it's not Lord Shiva. It is ordained by Lord Shiva Dasha Vishnu or the time energy Kalashakti of the Lord. So Lord Shiva is just but an instrument to facilitate that when the end comes, he performs the Tantra Mantra or his dance of destruction, and then everything becomes destroyed. But he is just the external, internally, these are the four destructions which are constantly happening. So okay, we'll stop here. So we discussed how Lord is creator, maintainer and destroyer. At the same time, he is still aloof from everything. And how he is facilitating everything and he is the original source of everything. Everything is the original source of everything, and this is original maintainer of everything and the protector of everything, as it was mentioned in these verses. Any quick questions or comments?
So you said, and you said 100 years he would meditate, Lord Brahma would meditate. He only lives for 100 years, then he meditates, then he dies? Or?
No, he meditates for 100 years, and then 100 years he is involved in creation part.
So that means 200
years. So 200 years, that's right. That's what I was also thinking when I read the 8th chapter of 3rd canto. And it was mentioned, no, he meditates for these 100 years. At that time, nothing is there.
Elsewhere I read, he meditated for 1000 years, celestial.
That's right.
But again, I'm not sure.
But again, there might be some, because we understand from Bhagavatam, there are different universes, and different Brahmas and different sizes of the universes. Some are thousand-headed Brahmas and there are much bigger solar systems, many more suns like that. So again, it is possible what you are saying. There can be thousand years. I also read that somewhere the Brahma meditates for thousand years. So that can be, but the point is it's a very long time that he meditates.
Another question is Lord Brahma sleeps for 12 hours. But isn't it more of ignorance, like
as a Prabhupada? Yeah, the sleep of this personality is not like our sleep. They sleep, in yoga, because we have to understand the body of Lord Brahma is not like gross like our body. Brahma is made of
intelligence.
So when he sleeps, he does not snore like us. The point I am trying to make, he does not go into that kind of ignorance. It's still in the sattvic state, mode of goodness.
Thank you.
Anyone else, please?
I have two questions. The first question is it this, like the symptom of like Brahma, that like the old Brahma is like about how he is in the. Is it the same for the demigods?
No, demigods' time frame is celestial time frame, which is slightly lesser. It is mentioned, I think.
So for 6 months.
Six months is one day. Our 6 months is one day of the demigods. So it's lesser. As you go higher, the time frame changes. So it's not equal.
And also, the second question is probably that Brahma, who came out of the name of the Lord, when he meditated for 100 years and then he created. So then,
the question is, does the Brahma after his life, enter life for 100 years? Okay, it depends on what consciousness the Brahma has. Sometimes the Brahma is pure yogi, like we know Brahma is a pure yogi, he is Haridas Thakurisa, like Namacharya. So when the Brahma is pure yogi, then he goes back home back to Lord. Or sometimes there is no qualified living entity to take the position of Brahma, then Lord himself, Vishnu himself incarnates to take that position as Lord Brahma. So then the Lord himself takes that position. So depending on the consciousness, somewhere I have also heard that each and every one of us were the first position when the living entity comes into the material world, he gets the position of Lord Brahma. So we were Lord Brahma, and of course we are here, so some fall down there. Thanks for the discussion. Yes.
Thank you for the nice class. My question is that you were saying that we should know Krishna's opulences. But we see that Lord Krishna is about us, and we learn that the more than the Narayana knows the opulences. So what is the need of so many opulences?
Actually, the opulences of Vrindavan are much, much more than the opulences of Narayana. So, when we read Krishna book, in there it is mentioned, the whole Braja is made up of gems and precious stones and Chintamani gems. So, the opulences of Braja, Dwarka, all these places are much, much more. So, we should hear about them, we should read them.
Prabhu, just a quick one. Did Brahma
retreat
for 100
demigods? No, it is mentioned 3 years in 3rd chapter. Because at that time nothing existed, so. So, how do we meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord? One way is just look at the beautiful lotus feet of the Lord. And we can see how beautiful the Lords are. Right from the lotus feet, we can start our meditation going up through the lotus feet to the face of the Lord. So, that is one way. Second way is the Acharyas point out that on the lotus feet of the Lord, there are different chinnas. Chinnas means different signs. We can meditate on those signs and try to meditate on them, thinking Lord form, this is all. And it is mentioned very beautifully in the pastime and then kind of where Akrura goes to invite Krishna or take Krishna to Mathura. At that time when he enters Braja, he sees the lotus feet of the Lord with different signs and immediately goes into the trance, thinking about the Lord's form and Lord's activities. So that is how we meditate.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. We'll stop here. Granthasham, Bhagavatam,
Jai. Jai.